We could think that courage is all about what we do, but true courage comes from God. True courage begins when we realize that we can believe in ourselves because God believes in us first. True courage is the strength to declare, God is God, and I am not. God is with me, and I am never alone.
That's the Reverend Elaine Wilder. I'm Peter Wallace. Join us for some conversation and a challenging message of faith. Today, on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. We're pleased to welcome to Day One today the Reverend Elaine Wilder, Associate Minister of First United Methodist Church of Marietta, Georgia. This past June, Elaine was ordained as an elder in full connection in the United Methodist Church. She is a graduate of Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina, and earned her Master of Divinity degree from Duke University Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. Elaine, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Peter. It's an honor.
Last week we heard from your boss, I guess, the senior minister of Marietta First United Methodist Church, the Reverend Dr. Sam Matthews, and he shared some of the ministries the church undertakes growing out of the congregation's core values. But what's it like for you as a younger pastor serving in this very active church?
I think the wonderful thing about serving at First Methodist is the freedom I'm given to live out my ministry among the people. With such a large church, there's so many different things that go on that it's nice to be able to have my hand in a number of places.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those places?
I particularly enjoy my work with congregational care and overseeing and directing and working with a number of our care ministries. And then I also really enjoy working with some of our young adult population, ranging from college students all the way up to my peers.
Mm-hmm. You are also keenly interested in the art of preaching. Why do you think that's so important to you?
For me, preaching is important because it's a wonderful opportunity to, in a short period of time, to remind people the gospel message, how much God loves them, but also how approachable and livable the faith journey really is.
But as a representative of a younger generation, do you sense that preaching is an archaic form in any way?
Actually, Peter, I don't. I think preaching is becoming even more vital in the fact that my peers are so often hearing messages. Mm-hmm. We're used to hearing short snippets from TED Talks to reading blogs, that to me now the sermon is even more important to, in a short period of time, get a message across. People are yearning to hear.
Mm. How did you experience your call to ministry?
My call to ministry came as a surprise. I still chuckle that I think my parents are surprised that they have a daughter who's a minister. I did grow up in the church, and I often say that the church was the first person to call me, but it took some time. I think a call to ministry comes from the outside, and then it needs to be internalized. So the church called me and encouraged me, and then finally, over time, I started to hear that calling for myself. I started to realize that the place where I felt most fulfilled and most excited was when I was doing the ministry of God. So that's what finally led me to open myself to hear God's call.
And you were awarded a fellowship to study Latin American theology in San Jose, Costa Rica for a year after college. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I'm forever grateful to the Rotary Clubs for sponsoring my year in Costa Rica. I spent a lot of time in college. I majored in religion and Spanish and wanted to co-mingle the two. Mm. So I was interested in learning about the Latin American church, how God is moving in that area in a different culture. I had the opportunity to perfect my Spanish skills, yet also to see how theology is done somewhere very different than the United States.
And you may have been ordained an elder in full connection in the United Methodist Church this summer, but you're still young. How do you see the future of the church unfolding and your role in it?
I'm really excited because I have so many peers in ministry, especially here in North Georgia in the Methodist Church, young ministers who are very excited about their call to ministry, about the future of the church, and about the possibilities that lay ahead of us. So while some people might think that ministry is facing a number of challenges, which I would agree, I think also there's a new excitement and there's a new energy among young people and young clergy. People are still asking the same questions that they've asked for ages. And I think we need to find fresh and innovative new ways to answer those questions using our scriptures and the Word of God.
Your sermon today is based on the psalm appointed for today, Psalm 139. Would you read it for us?
Of course. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
The writer of this moving psalm speaks of a God who knows us, forms us, and gives us life long before we become physical beings. It's a very intimate picture of the relationship God has with each of us. What strikes you as you read these verses?
I think for me what strikes me most is the knowledge that God comes before me and God follows after me. And for me, that gives a sense of security amidst the questions of everyday life.
Elaine, we look forward to learning more about this in your sermon today, The Whisper of Courage. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Courage. Some consider it the most admirable of human virtues. Ernest Hemingway describes it as grace under pressure. Merriam-Webster defines it as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. My favorite is Theodore Roosevelt's explanation. In his 1910 speech, Citizenship in a Republic, he declares, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly." Roosevelt's words for me embody the journey of faith, the adventure of faith, the joy of faith, and the gut-wrenching challenge of faith. Because for so many of us, to accept the unconditional love of God and to work towards embodying God's love day in and day out is a supreme act of courage. At its heart, I believe that Psalm 139 paints a glorious picture of courageous faith. It paints the picture of what it means to dare greatly, to let God love us and to strive to love God, to step into the arena of faith and to wear the dust and sweat and blood that make for faithful Christian living. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. These are words of courage. I imagine the writer of this psalm was facing a challenge and perhaps feeling nervous or unsure. Before making any decisions or taking any action, he stopped for a moment to pray and remember what was most important. God, you know me, and you know my story. God, you created me, and you gave me gifts. God, I am yours. I am sacred, and I am enough, just as I am. The foundation for all courage is God's unconditional love. We could think that courage is all about what we do, but true courage comes from God. True courage begins when we realize that we can believe in ourselves because God believes in us first. True courage is the strength to declare, God is God, and I am not. God is with me, and I am never alone. Do you feel courageous? I don't know about you, but on my average day, courage can feel hard to find. My head knows that God is in charge and that God is with me, but the challenges of everyday life press in from every direction. God may be powerful, but certain things have to get done, and I'm the one that has to do them. Decisions have to be made, and problems have to be solved. And when push comes to shove, we feel a lot more lonely and nervous than we do courageous. Courage might be possible for everyone else, but your situation sure can feel different. Maybe you've been searching for a job for ages, or maybe you have a job, but you dread going to work every day. Or it seems like everyone you know is pregnant with their second or third child, and you have been trying to have a baby for years. All those other families seem so happy and normal and perfect, but your marriage is a mess, or your child is getting into trouble. While most of your friends are enjoying life, you're overwhelmed with a terrifying medical diagnosis and have no idea what the future holds. It's easy to have courage when everything is going well, but courage seems like a luxury when you're just trying to survive. And survival mode is where most of us find ourselves. Things cruise along smoothly every once in a while, but then something happens and everything goes up in the air. At these moments, we find ourselves searching for answers and signs of hope. We yearn for courage, but we're not sure where to find it. One of my favorite shows is Call the Midwife from the BBC. On a recent episode, one of the characters made a courageous decision to change her life and embark on a new journey. As she was leaving, the narrator spoke these profound words. There is a greater gift than the trust of others, and that is the trust in oneself. Some might call it confidence, others name it faith, but if it makes us brave, the label doesn't matter, for it is the thing that frees us to embrace life itself. True courage begins when we realize that we can believe in ourselves because God believes in us first. God created you, and God knows your story. God is active in your daily life, often in ways you don't even notice. Because God's breath fills you and guides you, you need to learn to trust yourself. God doesn't often speak loudly or in obvious ways, but all the time, God is speaking to us through quiet nudges and feelings in the pit of our stomach. As our psalmist says, God, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. If we can find a way to settle down and listen, we'll soon see God's fingerprints all around us. It happens often, and the more I react, the more often it seems to occur. I'm going about the business of my day, and a friend's name crosses my mind. I smile at the thought and continue with whatever I'm doing. But then a couple hours later, she's on my mind again. I have no idea why, but I keep thinking about her. We haven't chatted in a while, but so much is going on. Usually, I pick up my phone and send a quick text. Thinking of you, how are you? Can we chat soon? Whenever it is that we finally connect, I often hear from that friend that she was having a bad day or that things weren't going well when she heard from me. She says that hearing from a friend made her feel loved and was a much-needed pick-me-up. When I send my text or pick up the phone or act on a vague instinct to check on someone or something, I don't feel like I'm doing anything courageous. I'm just following my gut and reaching out. But I've learned it's so much more than that. By trusting myself, by trusting my own innate wisdom, by having faith that my body knows, that my heart knows, that my instincts and my gut and my intuition are trustworthy, I am making a courageous declaration of faith. I am recognizing that God is God, and I am letting God speak to me. I am acknowledging that God is with me always, and that I can listen to even the quietest whisper of God's voice. And if I open myself up to God's voice about the small things, then I can also open myself up to God's nudges and guidance and wisdom about the bigger things too. If I trust myself to make decisions when things are calm and smooth, then I can trust myself to make decisions when survival mode sets in. Because while the details of my situation may change, the truth never changes. While the pendulum of my life may swing widely from calm to chaos, God remains steadfast and strong and trustworthy. While I may lose confidence in myself, God never loses faith in me. When faced with a challenge, rather than asking yourself, "Do I feel courageous?" I think a better question is, "Can I let God in?" We are never going to understand why things happen, and we won't ever have all the answers. But God promises to stand with us and nudge us in the right direction. Ask God to guide you. Listen for the nudges and look for the quiet clues. Be attentive, trust yourself, and follow your heart to make the right decision. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them, they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you. No matter what the particular details of your current struggle are, you will survive. The strength and faith that has sustained you up to this point will continue to sustain you now. Let God be God and trust that God is working out God's plan. You don't have to wait for everything to be clear before you make a move. We live our lives one day and one decision at a time. Listen to your heart and follow your gut. And when you need an extra bit of strength or are searching for the courage to press forward, remember our psalmist's declaration of faith. I come to the end. I am still with you. Take a deep breath and say it out loud. I come to the end. I am still with you. No matter what, God remains with us. When we struggle, God pursues us into the void and accompanies us along our path. God will never let us go. God stands at our side during the dark moments of despair, and God rejoices with us when the soft glow of daylight returns. The author Marianne Rademacher says it beautifully. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I will try again tomorrow." Keep trying. Everyday life can feel like a battlefield. Even the strong stumble and every good deed could be done better. But as Roosevelt reminds us, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly and dares greatly, even in the face of trial. Be courageous. Step into the arena and take a chance. True courage is knowing that because God created you, you are loved, you are sacred, and you are enough, just as you are. Remember that God is God and you are not, but God is with you and you are never alone. Let us pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, grant us the courage to be faithful. Help us to trust ourselves and to trust that you love us. Remind us that you are God and that you are with us. And let this give us the strength to live each day. Amen.
Day One is on the move. We're excited to announce that we've moved to our new recording studio and office suite on the campus of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. We're excited about our new home and grateful that a faithful supporter has offered a generous matching grant to help us pay for the construction of our new studio. We need to raise $25,000 as soon as possible in order to receive the match. Please help us meet this goal. Send a generous donation to our new address, Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thanks to your support and your prayers, the future of Day 1 is brighter than ever. Now, now, Elaine Wilder offers some final reflections on her sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Elaine, thank you for a message I know a lot of people, including me, needed to hear today. You said that for many of us to accept the unconditional love of God and to work towards embodying God's love day in and day out is a supreme act of courage. Why do you think that's so?
I think so much about our daily life is pushing us to question ourselves, and so much self-help and this and that, that I think for us to realize and to sit in the fact that God loves us just as we are requires pushing out a lot of other messages. So it's a courageous declaration of faith.
And I don't think I've ever thought of this beautiful Psalm 139 as speaking of courageous faith, but you said the psalmist was probably facing a challenge, perhaps feeling uncertain and nervous, and stopped to pray and remember, God knows me and knows my story, and God, you created me and you gave me gifts. I am yours, I am sacred, and I am enough just as I am. That's beautiful. It's a great spiritual practice to weave that into our own lives. How can we be more intentional about doing that?
I think for me, what I so often go back to is when things start to get so busy and overwhelming, is to remind ourselves to take the act of taking a deep breath and remembering who we are. And I think for us as people of faith, as Christians, we are God's children and God loves us. So it's not that we have to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. It's not that the stress isn't going to come. It's remembering that amidst all of that, there's the same story that God loves us and God cares for us.
And yet courage can be very hard to find on any average day, you noted. Our head knows that God is in charge and God is with us, but the challenges press in from every direction. True courage begins, you said, when we realize that we can believe in ourselves because God believes in us first. And if we can find a way to settle down and listen to God, we'll soon see God's fingerprints all around us. Would you give us some ways we might do that, either by ourselves or in community?
I think in many ways, the life of the church gives us opportunities to settle down and listen to God. I think attending worship with other people can give us that opportunity, whether it's during the music during a worship service where we take a deep breath and settle in to hear God, whether it's remembering a sermon during a difficult time, or whether it's through a quiet act of prayer. It doesn't have to be deep or beautiful. It can be just as much as saying, God, I need your help right now. But taking the time to do that and to invite God in will then also help us to take notice of the ways God touches us.
Elaine, what's one thing from your sermon that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
I hope more than anything they'll remember that courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is quiet, and sometimes courage comes from the confidence of knowing that we are God's and God is with us always.
Elaine Wilder, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.